Welcome to Extra Points with your host, Cousin Sal, and his pals, Dave Damaschek and Charlotte Wilder.
Welcome to the Extra Points Podcast, part of the Extra Points Podcast Network. Cousin Sal coming to you with his good pal, Dave Damaschek, other good pal, Charlotte Wilder, out and about, doing her rounds, kicking it on Fox Digital. You can check her out, doing all these interviews with many, many different players who Dave and I can't get. But no, she is doing a bang-up job. What else do I have? Dave, we're a few days away. Between interviews for this book and looking at props constantly, I'm dizzy. I have to say, I'm dizzy 3 days out, 4 days out, right? You feel the same
way?
Well,
ongoing mazel tov to you on the outside success of your first book. You're a writer now.
I mean, first and last. I like to think of it as last book.
Well, so you say, but see, you're going to be a victim of your own success. Now you're going to be, now a sequel's going to be demanded. Yeah, here we are in Super Bowl 55 week, but it's all about including the football game. I feel like it's a lot about the trios right now. People are talking about Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce. Is that the most formidable trio ever? And then I watch the Wednesday night basketball game or the Tuesday night basketball game. My days are running together. And suddenly I feel like, you know, when LeBron went down to Miami and made that trio, that was one thing, but I don't know what. I mean, this is just crazy level of talent with that trio in New Jersey. I don't know who's going to stop that, right? All the talk about who share the basketball, how there's not enough basketballs to go around. I don't know. I just think they're just going to overwhelm everybody and outscore them, right? And then there's the trio of you on Amazon or New York Times list. Who are you with? Obama? Cousin
and,
Sal,
and
I
Matt
who
McConaughey,
else.
Yeah, me, Barry, and Matt.
That's it. That's it.
And by the way, it's Brooklyn Nets, Dave. It's not New Jersey anymore. You're not only are your days running together. It's I think you're.
I don't know. I don't care.
It's a lot.
Give a good goddamn. I'm a basketball. That's my life now.
Basketball
and hockey.
Guru. You brought it up early. Yeah, as far as the book goes, I don't know. Maybe it's a coincidence that Jeff Bezos stepped down. I tweeted about this. I know you're not supposed to say I tweeted about this, but I did. He stepped down, made millions off my book, and was like, "All right, that's it. I'm calling it quits." I don't know. Seems strange to me. The book is
all downhill. Cousin Sal got to the peak of the mountain. Right. Where am I going from here? Bezos says. He's like, nowhere. I'm stepping out.
Yeah. Or maybe this is a joke. If that buffoon could sell even one copy of his book on my website, I think it's time to step down. That may be more like it. But anyway, it's called You Can't Lose Them All. And it is available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. That's my book. I have some... the parents, it's funny and it's infuriating when your parents start to lose it. But I have a couple of stories with that. My mother says to me, she's like, I was telling my friends you didn't do anything about me. You didn't write about me at all. And they said, no, of course he did. And they point out where I wrote about it. I wrote some nice things. And she's like, oh, I must have slept through that part. And I said, what do you mean you slept through? How do you sleep through a part in a book? And then after like 20 minutes of back and forth, I learned that she's ingesting it through the audio version. So she did, like in many movies, sleep through the part where I gave her, I gave her credit for everything.
Is that the right move as a parent or a loved one? Is like, does that make it more... intimate to have it listened to as opposed to reading it? I think so.
She
I give
said
her the points
me,
for that. Unless you fall asleep, then that's another.
Yeah, right. If you're falling asleep, you fall asleep, you could probably figure out what page you left off. In the audio version, it's a little different. But yeah, this was another backhanded thing at me. She's like, I like doing the audio thing because it's like you're talking to me. You never talk to me. I was like, all right, that's great. And then there's my father, who went out and bought the book I think it was like a Barnes & Noble, wherever it's around. And he said, I said to the lady, I said, how many are there? How many copies? And she says, well, there were five and then someone bought one and now you're buying one. So there'll be three left. And he's like, and I'm trying to figure out who bought the other copy because your Aunt Joan and Uncle Jimmy, they ordered it online. I know your mother didn't go to this store and buy it here. He's like, would you have any idea who might have bought the other copy? I said, this is going to blow you away, and I hope you're sitting down. But there is a very, very outside chance that it was a fan who bought it. And he's like, Oh yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, I guess it could have been some. I was like, do you think what this is? This is just for family consumption that we're putting it in these bookstores and hoping that the you know 23andMe any relation is buying it. So yeah, they're losing it. The
going
parents.
On. Yes, this really a labyrinthian path to get to your family members for you to go on. Pardon my take.
Yes,
and talk to PFT commenter and Big Cat just so on the. Your cousin in Long Island might hear. Wait, I thought whatever happened to Cousin Sal?
Yeah.
I'm glad that the PMT guys could reconnect me. Good thing. I got to go get this book by Cousin Sal now.
I'm in charge of designating how many copies. Yeah, I have two in the Bronx that maybe might buy it. So let's just put an extra one there just in case Cousin Joey wants to stop in and grab something. But anyway, Super Bowl coming up. We have our own contest here. Well, it's not really a contest. It's rewarding people for losing, Dave. It's the ultimate. What do they call those trophies? Participation trophies?
Right.
Yeah, that's what this is. We're calling it the Extra Points Extra Chance Contest, where we buy back a bad beat. You show us a FanDuel ticket designating a bad beat. I don't know. Maybe you had Kelsey to score first. He's tackled at the 1 yard line. You show it to us in proper fashion, and we will designate who had the worst beat, who would have stood to win the most money, whatever it is. We're going to give you $5,555 in honor of Super Bowl 55. And Harry, our friend Harry and Mikey Meatballs are going to fly out to wherever you are and give you the money, hand it to you right face to face. You're going to have to meet Harry. That's the downside.
What a reward.
The upside is $5,555. So that's pretty good, right? For losing?
I was going to say we should call the award like the Fran Tarkenton, like guys who almost get there but don't quite and they lose, and participation trophy, Jim Kelly, whatever, K-Gun. Maybe it's like the Kevin Dyson, and that's how Harry has to give you the thing. Like, I wouldn't want to get any closer to Harry than I needed to. Like, just stretch. Like, at the very end on the McNair play, just stretch it. I got it. Thank you for the money. That's it. Don't come in the house, Harry. Thank you.
That's good. Well, there are social distancing rules, and you want to be social distance from him anyway. But Harry may have screwed up on Against All Odds, you know, because only a certain amount of states are eligible for this contest, Dave, because FanDuel is kosher and, you know, seven. So I listed the states that he may be going to. He's like, whatever you do, don't make it Michigan because I have no winter clothes. I literally have no winter clothes. Right, Jim? Jim Cunningham. Didn't he say that? He has shorts. He has t-shirts, and he's doing hot tub videos in Arizona. And so I almost definitely now I'm going to pick a winner from Michigan.
Yeah, exactly. You have to. Maybe he just really wants to go. Does he not know you well enough through however many years it's been?
You think that was a poker face?
Up.
He wants to go. Nothing against Michigan, but I'm sorry. I may be almost definitely shipping Harry your way.
He might not be stout enough, but he really could be used like for the greater good. It wouldn't benefit him necessarily up in Michigan if it's frigid, but if it's snowy and otherwise, and he doesn't make it and he collapses, a local can take their lightsaber and like a tauntaun, slice him open and sleep in him for warmth overnight.
Wow.
Like that wouldn't be it. Well, you know, I'm just trying to make lemonade. That's what they say you're supposed to do in life.
That's true.
If Harry dies in the frigid tundra of Michigan, somebody should benefit from it. And the family of four that sleeps inside of Harry like a tauntaun will be the beneficiaries.
Poor Mikey Meatballs has to claim the body, figure out a way to ship it back to Oswego, New York, so his father and grotesque brother can say their goodbyes. My goodness, this is going to be something else. Anyway, that is our contest. FanDuel has their own. Look at this. FanDuel Sportsbook found the perfect way for everyone to get in on the action this Sunday. Big Game Bingo, it's called. You can claim your free Big Game Bingo card right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. The card automatically fills up as you're watching the game. So once you've filled five squares in a row, all you have to do is call Bingo to claim your share of $100,000 in prizes. Yes, 100 grand for free. FanDuel is the exclusive home for Big Game Bingo, and your card is waiting for you right now at the FanDuel Sportsbook app. App so easy to use, takes less than 2 minutes to sign up. More ways to win on FanDuel during the big game. No excuses to miss out this time. Big Game Bingo, perfect for everyone. You win your share of 100 grand in prizes, absolutely free to play, only on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Hit extra points promo code so they know we sent you. Yes, Big Game Bingo. I write about bingo in my book. My grandmother was in charge of a big, gigantic lady, Dave. Great cook, but she had a bingo addiction. And she was often in charge of watching us. And rather than blow off bingo, she would just bring all the grandkids to bingo. Me, my cousin Jimmy, you know, Mickey, Sal, you know, all of us. And we'd go and we would just dab each other. We'd spend the time dabbing each other with those markers, which are impossible to get off, right? I think I still have blotches under my armpits and stuff. And then, of course, we would call bingo when we didn't have it. And I remember her sternly grabbing my hand and say, "You do that one more time and I'm going to tell the bingo commission on you." And that I laughed and laughed and laughed that, first of all, that there's a bingo commission. And secondly, that they can reprimand me for calling bingo. So
I wonder what the penalty is.
Yeah.
For false bingos. Fraudulent at the bingo parlor. I wonder what the repercussions are.
You can never play again? Oh, good. Thank God. Thank you. I appreciate that. But anyway, I don't know that the same rules apply for FanDuel. FanDuel, Dave. Tons of great props. By the way, they have, this excited me to no end, they have the Gatorade colors. The legal books like FanDuel forever stayed away from this. They didn't want anything to do with the Gatorade colors because of idiots like our friend Daniel, who will argue for weeks on end that, yeah, you bet, you know, he bet green Gatorade and it was clearly blue. And he's like, no, look at this. There's a tinge of green. I was like, it's as blue as Sinatra's eyes. I don't want to argue about this. It's now March Madness. We're still arguing about this. But anyway, they're taking it on. You could bet the color of the Gatorade. Are you as interested in Gatorade color as you are uniform colors?
No, I'm not.
Oh. Why not?
See? Well, see, it's not fun now, isn't it? It's when you run into a brick wall in conversation, it's not enjoyable, is it, Sal?
Well, no. Here's the thing.
I don't know. What's it matter? Doesn't matter, is my opinion.
It matters to us on this gambling show because you can't bet on the stupid uniform colors, but you can bet
on Gatorade.
Where's
my parade? Where's my parade for fixing the look of this game? Where's America stepping up and throwing a parade for one Dave Damashek for making it? If I hadn't have stepped in, the Buccaneers would be wearing those red jerseys against the red pants of the Chiefs, and we would all have to suffer for 3.5 or 4 hours, and not just on Super Sunday, but for the rest of our football-watching lives as we look back at this pivotal game, legacy stakes to beat the band. We're lousy with them for Brady v. Mahomes and everything else, and every time that game would be invoked for the rest of our lives, you would have to see highlights of a red jersey Tom Brady against the red pants Patrick Mahomes, and you'd be like, bring back black and white TVs. But your pal Dave Damashek, a.k.a. the uniformant, stepped in, made things right. You're welcome. All I ask is a nice parade. Is that too much
no.
to ask?
No.
But okay, go ahead with your
then, yeah, then marching
green
band.
Or blue.
Well, go ahead. With your marching band, you'll have to get involved in how they dress for this parade. And no, yes. You don't need a parade. And by the way, I don't like this. Anyone who disagrees with you is a curmudgeon. You're the curmudgeon. I'm saying let them wear whatever they want. I don't care what they wear. How am I the curmudgeon? You're the one that's saying, no, they must wear red and pewter and the socks must be miscolored and the polka dot. I for not caring, I'm not a curmudgeon. You are the curmudgeon here, sir. And you got your way. Congratulations. As
I don't want to talk about it another minute, except for I think the liar, when uniforms come up, and the liar steps up and says, no, who cares? Why would this matter? Because you know who cares? Your eyes. And whether you want to, because you have to express testosterone or whatever and make it clear, like, I don't care about how guys dress or whatever. Of course you care.
What's that
you're looking
voice,
at
man?
It for your life. And if you're a fan of a team and that team has bad uniforms and you watch them night in and night out in the NHL or NBA or otherwise, and you see them every and their uniforms stink, that's a hard watch.
You're out of your mind. You're out of your
mind.
All right,
go ahead, please.
This is a hard listen. No, I think that's the difference. I have a million things to worry about.
Hard listen.
I have a million things to worry about other than the uniforms. And one of them, yes, you're right, is Gatorade color. And I'm going to find it right now. Hold on. I just had it up. There it is. Gatorade color. I can't believe it. Orange +125 is the favorite. Red, pink. You get red or pink 3-1. Clear water, clear or water, plus 350. Then you have the yellow, green, lime, plus 450. Blue, plus 750. Purple, 9-1 odds. Now, last year, purple was the favorite. People went crazy betting purple because of Kobe. He had died the week before or a few days leading up to the Super Bowl. There was going to be, you know, it was going to be a, you know, a dual tribute to Prince. Didn't happen. Wasn't purple.
Jesus. Well, that's a pretty grim reason that Gatorade would have thrown purple in there.
Well, they, I know it is interesting, but it didn't end up being purple. I'm going to look it up. Dave, what do you think? Should they stick with one? Should it be the team colors or should it be anything? Do you, does it matter to you?
Pewter Gatorade.
Stop it.
I will, I'll guess that it's clear. Not clear, but that white that they have.
So that's what I'm saying. I say clear because you get water. You get water for clear.
You well, they do that like icy color, you know, that whitish, I guess
right.
That's what you call that is white.
All right, now here's the thing with orange, the favorite at plus 125. It has hit five times in the last 10 years. Saints Super Bowl win was orange. Packers was orange. Makes no sense. Seattle was orange. And especially since they beat Denver. And then Denver wins. That's orange. That makes sense. Chiefs win. That's orange. I don't know. I feel like Gatorade is in on this. They must know the colors ahead of time.
Yeah, right.
Right?
Why is this something you can bet on when obviously Gatorade can get involved in it?
I don't know. Well, first of all, I don't think they let you get rich off of this, right? So there's a limit as to how much you could put down. And as soon as they see a spike on a number, they'll probably pull it, thinking there's a little, you know, horseplay here. But I'm going clear. You're going clear, Dave, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to steal your thunder there.
No, it's
I didn't
okay.
know where you were going on that. By the way, I'm sorry. I don't want to belabor it.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're going to indulge this, you know that there is a legitimate in the last 20 years or so of the team that wears the color jersey versus the team that wears the white jersey, it heavily favors the team in the color jersey.
Yeah.
I'm going to name drop here, but I literally, after the Eagles beat the Patriots, I went down on the field. I mean, right after it. And amidst the human celebrations not seen since when Moses came down from wherever he was with them stones and found that party going on.
He was either in New Jersey or Brooklyn. I can't figure.
Either way, yeah, when he came down, all the Eagles celebrating like that in various states of undress with their loved ones and otherwise. I spotted Chris Long and I said hello to him in Mazel Tov. And he said, so much for the curse of the white jersey, right?
Wow.
That was the first thing out of his mouth. It was like, oh, so how about that? That's exactly right. That this does matter to some percentage of the people participating in the game. So fat and double fat
all
to
right.
you.
Well, you're going to get mad at me because after all this, I still don't even know who's wearing the colored jersey. Who is it favor? Is it the
is that
Chiefs?
Not, that's not true. That's not true. You now know, obviously. Who's winning.
I know.
All right,
it's,
go ahead.
It's the Chiefs. On. It's the Chiefs, right?
Thank you.
I really don't know. All right, so more superstitions, though. NFL. Oh, the Madden. Madden Sim predicted the Chiefs to win 37-27, which would put the game over. And obviously, the Chiefs cover. FanDuel staying steady at 3 and 56.5. They don't want to move that line at all.
Are you ready to make an official pick yet? Or are you going to hold off? For
no, I got it. I had it last week. I'm sticking with it. And the fact that there might be rain makes me like it even more. I like Tampa Bay 27-23, and a good half a dozen points under the total. Are you going to hold off till Friday?
No. I'm on the total. I will, but I am with you. I am Team Brady here. I am riding with the Buccaneers. I like how it sets up. I mean, it's not a small thing that it's a home game. That does have to matter, doesn't it? That for all the nonsense generally going on in Super Bowl week, and I know that it's muted for Kansas City as well, but still, I mean, they're in their homes, and that's all you ever hear about is how playing at home is such an advantage. Well, the Buccaneers are playing the biggest game at home.
Right.
Doesn't that's got, and the other thing is too, that people have not talked a great deal about because, and I nobody loves the, like I say, the legacy stuff and the QB win stuff and what it means to win in the biggest moments and all that. But I've completely lost my train of thought. But
that's all right. Let me get you back on.
Go
but
ahead.
As far as the home thing goes, this is where they settled.
Oh, the offensive line. That's it. Nobody ever talk about the QBs. They don't have an offensive line, the Chiefs. That's my point. The Kansas City Chiefs don't live. That's not small. Did you see what happened to Rodgers and Lambeau against that pass rush?
It's underreported. And our buddy Jeff Schwartz, your partner on -3, he has a brother on the team that he's talking about, says this is one of the more decimated offensive lines to enter a Super Bowl. I don't know what to compare it to. And yeah, Mahomes is a magician, but if you don't have the lady to saw in half or the cape or the wand, it makes it a little tough, right, to work his magic.
And then you start robbing Peter to pay Jason Pierre-Paul because that just came together very neat.
That's pretty good.
But yes, once you lose both tackles and then because you have to stop JPP, Vita Vea and the
Barrett,
rest of those guys start making hay against you. Yeah. So yes. I think that's bad. I think that is, in fact, bad. But then Chris Jones could swing it the other way for Brady. As long as Chris Jones doesn't turn Tom Brady into a 43-year-old man and be rushing in his face all day long. I like Brady and company.
You talk about the home field advantage. We asked early in the week. They hadn't decided what they're going to do about the cannon. The Bucs famously have the cannon that goes off after every big play. They will not have it go off during the big plays. I don't know if you saw this go down. It's going to go off during the intros for the Bucks, and it will go off big time if the Bucks win the game. I think this is a fair compromise. You can't have it during the game because it's home, but hey, you lucked out it being home, right? You can't get 100% take full advantage of the home field there, right? I'm okay with that compromise.
Yeah, that makes sense. Although it does expose the potential slippery slope of like, what if there were enough Chiefs fans there to make their particular cheer? Do you have to stop that? It's like we're tamping down on institutionalized celebrations, but not fan-based celebrations.
Right.
But all right, fine. It does make sense. I'm with you.
Well, I think the difference is we're hiring extra employees to celebrate the Bucks, right? So that's where the cannon versus the
be
the
a real thing. Shame. I'm sure Bruce Arians would really be miffed at the Tampa Bay Stadium operator if that cannon happened to by accident go off right before a big play.
Interesting.
To spook Patrick Mahomes as he steps to the line of scrimmage. Bang! Like what? Like, you know, throw him off. Like, oh, mistake. What can we do now? Live life in the rearview mirror.
I think there's there are further mistakes to worry about with this cannon, and they did a nice job, the league, in inviting 7,500 healthcare workers there. And God forbid, let's not put them to work with a cannon malfunction, right? We can't have it. That's right. Wouldn't that be 2021 for us? I want to go over.
Thank goodness they happen to be on hand for the carnage.
What do you think of this? Well, this is a ridiculous one, but FanDuel has the MVP is from the losing team, 55-1 odds. I don't know that it's a coincidence that it's 55-1 odds. This is Super Bowl 55.
Boy, that's great. Boy, I love it.
Mahomes.
That's a fun one.
Mahomes loses, but has 4 touchdown passes. Brady has a few interceptions. You can't really give it to anyone
entry
on defense.
Entry level, not Cousin Sal, and nobody else can look, be gentlemen and do. Anybody who is joining us right now, Babyface Joel, Jim, Eddie Spaghetti, or otherwise, can anyone answer the rudimentary Super Bowl trivia question? Who is the only person to win as a losing participant in the Super Bowl? Yes.
Joel, you don't have it. You don't know it.
It's, I wanted to see if Mikey Meatballs knew first.
All right.
That's enough. Nobody knows. It's Chuck Howley. Go ahead.
There you go. So 55-1. It did happen once in 54 games. So I guess 55.
And he wore number 54.
But there is a path, right? There is a path to it happening. Mahomes has a monster game. No one else does, but the Bucks win. Not likely, but 55-1 could be fun. Here's another one.
Brady. I love Brady plus. I love that we discussed last week will either guy throw for over 400 yards. And actually, you made a great point, if cynical, that the odds were too low on it. But I do think one of those two guys at least gets to 400. And to your point, if the Chiefs win the game and Brady goes for 400 and it feels like, oh, listen, the old Lion, one last great performance. It wasn't enough. But you know what? He still is the GOAT. Give him the MVP award. Mm. I could see that going that way.
Oh, I'm going on. I know it's boring, but I'm going under on everything. And now that there's some rain involved, we could have like an AJ Dewey type game. That would be fun. Let it rain. Let it come down. This would be fun.
AJ Dewey, he did it. He remembers the Richard Todd game. Dick Todd throwing three picks to AJ Dewey, who had a grand total of, I think, in his career, something like five picks,
three
of them happened in the title game,
one of which
he takes to the house, and he wears number 77 as a linebacker. Another reason to love AJ
Dewey.
There you
go. Brady rushing yards, Dave. What do you think the total is?
Brady rushing yards? Is that a thing?
Sure.
Brady rushing yards. I'll say it's at 5.5.
It's at a half.
Huh.
And I kind of like it. Oh, I don't know, because I'm against the fourth down conversions. There's only been three in the last eight Super Bowls, but I could see him on fourth and one. I mean, that's all he would have to do, right? Just one time, sneak ahead and get the one.
Yeah, but how doesn't it, how does that work again?
Where you get one.
But what if they're in victory formation? Could you lose it? I mean, that is a fun bet to watch because it could take you up right until the literal last few seconds of the game.
Right.
If Bucks go victory formation and he gets the snap and steps back, that gets a minus two
that
rush
sucks.
Yards, right?
So that's right. That's true. And that is how Mahomes, one of the worst prop losses of all time, Mahomes last year was over in rushing yards by like 9.5 and then took three gigantic kneel downs to put him way under. All right. Yes, that is a problem there. By the way, will a kneel down end the game? Minus 180.
I am going to say yes.
Yeah, I think so too. More
by
times
the way,
than that.
I feel like this is a debated subject perennially. My favorite play in football is that for my team when they're winning is not a last second overtime whatever thing or like great catch to win the game or whatever. It's victory formation. There's nothing more satisfying.
No, it isn't.
That's the best. That's when you know. That's the best. When your team is doing that and they're like, you know, you're going to win. That's when the game, I'm trying to think of how to think of it.
Tell me how any of this is better than Santonio Holmes tiptoeing in the end zone there.
Because it feels like it was so close that you had to do that. Dominance is expressed by that. It's sort of like, I think the best is an empty net goal. You have a one goal lead. The game is still going. 40 seconds left. They're this far away from winning the Stanley Cup. He shoots it in the empty net and it's in. And that have that moment, the game is still happening, but you know you're going to win it. That's the best.
It's more of a relief, but I don't know. Is it more exciting? I don't know. I get what you're saying. I don't really get what you're saying. MVP is a defensive player, Dave. So now here's my thinking behind this. It's plus 850. This is if you don't like Brady or Mahomes. And I really don't think if it's not those two, it's not going to be like Kelce or Tyreek Hill. So if you got a low scoring game again in the rain, I kind of like this at plus 850. I think it's worth it to put a couple bucks on that. How say you?
Andy Reid on one side, Tom Brady on the other, and by extension, Bruce Arians, but basically the way we've seen Brady do this in postseason games and otherwise, both identify the weak link in their foe and go at it repeatedly.
Mm-hmm.
So if Antonio Brown happens to have a matchup that can be exposed over the course of the second half or whatever, I could kind of see Brady focusing on that. And if one guy, one receiver, were to catch three touchdowns to the exclusion of all other pass catchers on that team, I could kind of see it. The other one is if, like we've talked about it before, about the way those linebackers from the Bucs took away Alvin Kamara, if they kind of do the same to Travis Kelce and one of them picks off a couple, if Lavonte David or Devin White picks off Mahomes twice, I could see one of those guys
in
those
a low scoring game. Yeah. So, I mean, you could get monster odds on those guys like 50 to one or something, but so maybe that's the way to do it. Or you could have all the defensive players at plus 850 and hope for rain. You know, as I bet games live more often, I see some value in this. The team to score first wins the game is minus 180. Now, if the Bucks kick a field goal, you're not getting value out of it. If the Bucks go up 3-0, from that point on, they're not minus 180 to win. They're still probably a slight underdog in that scenario. But if the Chiefs score a touchdown, you're like, ah, this might be too much for the Bucks to come back from. Or if the Bucks score a touchdown, it's not bad. A field goal kind of screws you either way, but team to score first wins minus 180 might not be a bad value bet there. Let me ask you this. Largest lead of the game, what is it?
10 points.
FanDuel has it at 14.5. So you would go under there. Close game. That half is big. If it's 28-14, you're still winning with the under.
Maybe 11-ish. Yeah, right. Okay, either way, I'm going under. Yeah,
you get like half. It's not 13.5. 14.5 is three scores. So there you go. All right, those are the ones that went. We do a bunch. We go over like 50 of them on Against All Odds. Dave and I will hit more on Friday. Props, props, props. It just never ends. Now, Dave, you want to talk about this wins thing. My God, you were so helpful. You made Mikey Meatballs, made this these pyramid graphics and everything.
I didn't
and this
ask is just- for a pyramid. I want to say for anybody who does pyramids or tier rankings, I just think it's fascinating that,
yeah.
I mean, it lays bare. Everybody is overthinking it. To quote our pal Martin Weiss, like, you're overthinking it if right. you think QB wins in January and early February somehow don't matter when you evaluate who the best is in the sport. It's the quarterback league. It's why I think Julian Edelman, to the chagrin of many people, I think he's kind of a valid conversation around a Hall of Famer because he performed in the most critical moments and he didn't do it just once as a fluke like David Tyree. He's a seminal figure in at least three Super Bowls and many playoff games as well. Same goes for Lynn Swann.
All right. Well, explain what the hell this is because no one knows what you're talking about. It really just
right.
makes Tom Brady look better, right? I mean, it was just another reason to conclude that he's the greatest of all time and probably won't
well,
get caught.
I think even if you take Brady out of the mix, though, in the last 20 years, yes, the one thing that you see is if you take a look at it, it's not high-minded math or anything like that. I wouldn't be capable of something like that. I'll defer to Mr. Calculus 0.3 Sal to do something like that. But in the meantime, I just counted up the guy and mid-October wins are fine. That's not what I'm talking about.
Right.
I'm talking about postseason wins and the biggest games. Who gets the title games, who wins the title games, and then who wins the Super Bowls. You count them all up, Brady is by far and away ahead of everybody else over the last 20 years, but still, you will see the cream rising to the top. Peyton Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, and I don't have the thing in front of me.
Oh, my God. You don't even know the second tier here? This is your thing you want to talk about. Wasn't it Aaron Rodgers?
And Aaron Rodgers. The point is, the guys who are good keep getting to the big games. It's not some random fluke. Yes, Mark Sanchez. People say, well, but how do you explain Mark Sanchez? He played in two title games. That's terrific. He lost them both. The cream rises to the top and separates from the ham and eggers. What you will see is that if you wish to attempt an argument about QB wins aren't a, that's a team statistic, then why is it that the QBs that we consider to be great collectively, we understand, yes, these are the 5 or 10 best at sports most important position, keep showing up in the title games and in the Super Bowls, and more often than not, they're winning them. There
right.
is no explanation for it. It's why everybody pays ridiculous sums of money to the quarterbacks. And when people say, it's a team sport, then why doesn't Mecole Hardman make the same amount of money as Patrick Mahomes?
Because
Patrick Mahomes is more important to it.
Who is ever arguing that Mecole Hardman should make as much as Patrick
Mahomes? Nobody ever does, but isn't that the natural extension of the argument that everybody is input that it's a team award? Then why?
I don't know.
Why aren't we going egalitarian or socialist and just paying everybody the exact same?
I think everybody who's at the top of this pyramid is, sorry, it's in pyramid form, take it up with Mikey Meatballs, is properly rated. I don't think anyone says, Aaron Rodgers, no, it's a team sport. They got to where they were because of Devontae Adams. I think Aaron Rodgers is properly rated. Peyton Manning certainly is. Mikey Meatballs, who else is on this graphic that Dave can't remember? Who's in the second and third tier? Do we even have it? There you go. Great. Breeze, right? Eli, Flacco, McNabb. Yeah. And we got it. And Mahomes. All right. They're very good. Oh, there
I mean,
is.
If you don't find it compelling, then I don't know what to say. I find it very interesting.
I find it compelling that you don't even know
the same
your own
list
graphic.
Of names. Well, I didn't have them off the top of my head. But I will say this. I mean, look at the names. Right. Look at the faces of those guys. Okay, Joe Flacco is kind of a human exception, proving the rule on one side that Joe Flacco, but he's obviously pretty clutch performer in January, and he deserves praise for doing that. And, you know, on the other side, there is, I suppose, Phil Rivers not showing up beyond that one title game where he had the bum knee and the football gods frowned on him for whatever reason.
And Tony Romo, the most unlucky quarterback of all time.
Yeah, and Tony Romo, but for the most part, look at that and summon a powerful argument against QB wins not being an individual number. Yes, there are other factors. That's how Joe Flacco slips through and wins a Super Bowl, or Mark Sanchez shows up in a couple of title games. But blur your eyes a little bit and don't get so specific with it and just look at it. There's no argument against that the best quarterbacks are the ones who keep getting their teams to the biggest games, period.
Except
everybody
think,
wants to argue it, is my point. So what? That's obvious. But most people want to argue.
I don't know
that
most.
Point.
I would say Eli, though, is great because of the wins and not the other way around. I think it's chicken and egg. Sorry, spaghetti, right? Like, this wasn't a great quarterback and then said, hey, look at his wins. It's like, oh, maybe we should deem him great because of these wins. That's the only argument I would make there.
Yes. I think Eli and Flacco assume the same position, which is that they were, you know, pedestrian. If you attempted to build an entire offense for 16 regular season weeks around that guy, you were going to suffer. But it's undeniable that they both did step up in massive spots. And therefore, I'm not saying Joe Flacco's a Hall of Famer, but Eli Manning, I mean, that's his case. He never did anything except in those 2 years. Yes, but the whole point is to lift the Lombardi, and he did it twice, and he did it against Tom Brady. As we move into another Hall of Fame debate session here, clearly the best QBs, it's the most important position in all of sports, and the best ones at it are the ones who keep playing in the big game.
We're going to post that graphic if anyone's confused. Jim, put that up for a second. The thing I take away from that is Brady and whatever. I didn't need anything to convince me any further. But Brady, 12 title games, 10 Super Bowls, 6 Lombardis. Rodgers, Peyton, and Big Ben, 15 title games, 8 Super Bowls, 5 Lombardis. So those three guys were great, basically stack up to Brady. And then you got 15, 7, and 5. You have Breeze, Mahomes, Eli. Who's that? Kurt Warner and McNabb? What am I missing? No. Who's that fourth guy?
Yes. That's right. This is as of 01, Brady's first season when he takes over for Drew Bledsoe. And that is
outrageous.
I mean, for real. I'm making a broader point, but you're exactly right. The takeaway is, as I started to count these up, is going in, obviously we already knew Brady is more dominant than anyone's ever been, but it really is crazy. Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, and Ben Roethlisberger combined to have fewer Lombardis than Tom Brady does by himself.
That's
crazy. Two fewer Super Bowls. Those three guys. I mean, imagine that. That's what we're talking about. Those three guys are all first ballot Hall of Famers, and they don't combine to play in the same number of Super Bowls as Brady has. It's really, I mean, like, what? There aren't words to, you know, there's not enough superlatives to praise Brady with, in spite of the fact that when you watch him play, you don't think, like, boy, that guy is special. There's never been a moment when you watch Tom Brady play in his 20 years and all these deeds where you think, like, that's the best guy I've ever seen throw a football. Like, there's nothing about his game that stands out except the win total.
I think people are starting to finally appreciate it because Fanatics, yes, that's the merchandise, the sports merchandising company there, the real retailer, set a record. Tom Brady set a record for just Brady merchandise since the conference championship. That's number one in this 2 weeks. Jerseys, t-shirts, other items, double what they were following his last conference championship appearance. I don't know. Maybe it's because people don't have the jersey. They've had the New England jersey for so long. But anyway, Fanatics, number one selling jersey across all sports from August to November. Incredible. You can't say no. And it's funny, on Fox Bet Live, we think of different ways. The producers have different ways to try to formulate, try to encourage an argument. And one of the questions was, who needs this Super Bowl more, Patrick Mahomes or Tom Brady? It's like, well, neither of them needs it. It's like, I said, it's like, you know, Bill Gates or Steve Jobs, which one needs a laptop more? Well, only one of us, them. Is
I get it, but it's like Lefty versus Tiger in those skins games. I mean, at least
who needs it more? Who needs it more? Isn't like neither needs it. Mahomes
right.
needs. Brady needs it more because this is probably his last, I guess. Mahomes needs it more if he wants to be in the conversation with Brady. Not this year, but years from now, this will help. But neither of them needs it. It's not the vaccine, this trophy.
Well, I'd like to see those future. I'd like to see the future odds of how many Mahomes will win. You know, I'd love to see that number today, and then I'd like to see it on Monday based on how the game, how Super Bowl 55 goes, of how many Lombardis Mahomes is going to win in the future.
They had it when he signed the contract.
It does matter. That's my whole.
When they signed the contract, they had it at 2, I think, for the 10 years.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, I think it was.
This whole pyramid thing, I don't know. Maybe it's not interesting. I don't know what people are interested in. They just like to sit and swoon over the greatness in the moment of the guy making an athletic play or something. I don't know what.
No.
Like, this is the stakes are everything. Differentiating is what we're here to do, is to draw those distinctions about who's at the top and who's a little bit better than the other alleged greats. Yeah. To me, and Mahomes at 25. If he has 2 rings and already at this point, I mean, it's crazy. And, you know, Dan Marino and all that will tell you, get it now, Mahomes. Who knows if you're ever getting back? It's the age of free agency. You might be a superstar for the next 10 years, but you may never get back to a Super Bowl.
I don't know what people are interested in uniforms, but sometimes I just don't want to talk about it a lot, right? Like, I think we beat it to death. Like, we get it.
I don't know when
ESPN.
All right, fine. I've beaten it into the ground. This is what this Super Bowl is about, though. It's about the old man versus the young man, both positioned to maybe make a case for being the greatest in the sports history. Have you ever worn, though? I'm trying to think of the last time I ever saw Cousin Sal in any sports jersey outside of the picture of you in the Mets jersey when you threw out the first pitch,
right?
In whatever Shea is called now, Citizens Park or whatever.
Stop
it's
it, City Field.
Whatever.
Butch Goring as a 13-year-old playing street
you had
hockey.
A Butch Goring. Goring 91 was right up there by my most hated Islanders.
Right,
boy,
no,
I hated
like
Butch
him.
Goring. No.
Really? A
scrap
helmet. A scrap. I don't know the last jersey. I have a problem with wearing a jersey. Like, my 80-year-old father wears a Conforto jersey today.
Now, if we go, so if we I go can answer Mets that Dodgers. Question.
Oh, you know the answer?
I actually believe you lost a bet on.
Oh, that sucked. Yeah, I lost to Bonetta because the Cowboys lost to the Herb Browns. And I, as a result, had to put a red wig on and put a Giants polo on. It wasn't a jersey, and pretend to be Jason Garrett. And I didn't mind the red wig or pretending to clap for a half hour, but really just putting that shirt on made me sick to my stomach after years of throwing onesies in the trash from my idiot friends who will buy me Yankee, you know, onesies for the newborn boys or whatever. And I was just like, nah, it ain't happening. No one's wearing a hat or anything, but it really bothered me. Have you had to wear ever the jersey of a Browns jersey or a Ravens or anything?
Well, I did it because I'm a giver, as you know, Sal. I'm an empath. It's my way. Mm-hmm. For the greater good, again, I've done it a couple of times. In week 17, 2 years ago, when the Steelers needed the Browns to beat the Ravens for the Steelers to get to the playoffs, I donned a Baker Mayfield jersey to show support for him.
Ooh.
And then Ike Taylor, when he was on the Steelers, had a rough season. So to try and get his mind right and get him confident again, I challenged him to a free throw shooting contest. He's a professional athlete after all. So I put on an AJ Green to try and inspire him. By vanquishing AJ Green in a competition would boost his competition. The only problem was Dave Damashek's too good a goddamn free throw shooter and made all his free throws and sent Ike Taylor with his tail tucked between his legs.
How many was it? Out of 10?
It was out of 5. But I mean, I was...
What, you can't do 10? 5.
We could have, but that was all we needed to make the point. It was a powerful one.
What was
Dave
the final?
Damashek in the clutch. It was 5-3. Whatever he made.
You got all 5. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Eddie Spaghetti, were you there for that? That was a powerful moment. A powerful
Spaghetti,
message.
Spaghetti, were you there?
Well,
I was not. That was before my time with the network. That was before. I do remember Dave, though, with the Browns home jersey, Baker Mayfield doing his bit. I do remember that one.
Interesting. And the Browns lost that game, right? It was close for a while, and they lost it.
They almost won. Yeah, Jarvis Landry made a couple of the craziest catches you'll ever see on that last second drive. It was quite a sight. All the Steelers gathered on Heinz. What did we talk about the Steelers?
I don't know. I do remember watching that slate of games. It was week 17, and I was alone in a sports bar in Maui. That's how pathetic it is when the games kick off at 7 a.m., but they were still open. And I was like, yeah, sure, I'll have another iced tea. Like, what can you do at 7 a.m. anyway?
It's one thing when it's bad outside to be shut in like that. I think I've spent at least memorably a couple of really sunny Southern California Sunday shut into a super dark bar with you, Sal, and some other mooks watching football for like 7.5 or 8 hours. And I feel a little bit bad about it.
Well, it's you feel bad when you walk out, right? You're like, oh, wow, I missed a great day. how pleasant it is out here.
But now we have only one last Sunday to do it, and then it's off into the wilderness NBA and NHL and March Madness and all the rest.
I don't even want to think about it. But I will say there was some good news yesterday as EA Sports announced that they're relaunching their college game. There's been the college football game, and I love this. They haven't made one since, 2014? And I just love the idea. It's so great. Now, there's problems with naming rights and everything else. I don't even care. I don't care that we see what would be Justin Fields and he gets a certain ranking or something. I love playing. I would play against Harry. He would be terrible. He would be like a San Jose team and think he could beat me if I was Michigan. But years back, Dave, there was a game called Bill Walsh College Football. I forget what it was called exactly. It was Bill Walsh sponsored. Yes.
And there was Bill Cowher pro version of it. Right. Yeah. Yes. Right. It was like you made coaching and personnel decisions a little bit more. Right.
Sega Genesis had it. Bill Walsh, it was the game I was best at. I won 55 games in a row. I would play the Georgia Bulldogs. Garrison Hurst was the running back. Eric Zier was the quarterback. I beat my friends 55 games in a row. And as if it had anything to do with it, I was going for DiMaggio streak, which is 56. Obviously no correlation, but coincidental. And now we're here at Super Bowl 55. But I lost on a blocked extra point, game number 56. Mikey Meatballs, it might have been to your father, actually, that I lost game 56. He was the Miami Hurricanes. But I love the college game. I love the video game. And I don't know.
It's
they're still
funny.
Working it out.
Well, yes, for me, it's I think we've had that the NHL 93 and 94.
Yeah,
those were when they had the one timer and all that. I mean, talk about an all-time juggernaut. You could not. I hear my words. Hear me now. Challenge me. Maybe we'll find out in some distant future. If you give me the Pittsburgh Penguins with Mario Lemieux in NHL 94, I am unbeatable.
Really?
Let's
get
you
it going.
What I said?
Let's get it going.
Now,
give me Eisenman.
I've never
it's Eisenman funny. In the wings. I'll beat you.
That's fine.
And I'll beat you up too. At
Probert. A lot of people like Vancouver with Cliff Ronning and what he could do, but he was very good. Sal, I've never. It's weird. I've known you for two decades, kibitzed about sports endlessly, and yet I don't know, or maybe I do. Who's your favorite college football team?
You have to buy the book.
Oh, it's in there?
No, it's not in there. They suck now, but I was partial to Syracuse, but I never really had a team in my early years. But Syracuse was 40 miles from where I went to. From where I went to college, and those were fun teams, and
McPherson
Ismail, this Kirby Dardar. There was some
Marvin Graves, right? Wasn't that
the right.
guy's name?
Marvin Graves was great. Yeah. That was fun. The extra points gang at gmail.com. That's where you reach out to ask us questions. The extra points gang back-to-back@gmail.com. Mike Chamernick says Joe Montana wore number 16 and was the MVP of Super Bowl 16. Good trivia question, Dave. That was the one we couldn't remember. We've been corrected multiple times. The only player to win an MVP in the Super Bowl and wear the same jersey number. for that.
Frank Clark isn't a crazy pick, really. It's not insane to say Frank Clark if you want a defensive guy.
Could happen. The odds are a little high. Yeah. Hey, gang, Eric Parpart. Dave recently referenced robots on the pod. Does he know the sports guy who shall not be named as also pronounces it robots? Perhaps this is the common ground that can finally heal their strained relationship. Eric, could be good enough, right? You both mispronounce a very common word. I think that's good.
I like it. I love BattleBots. BattleBots is the best. I bet on it. It's a dynasty. That robot that won 3 in a row is from Boston.
The thing that anybody hit us up about the scandal, I can't believe you didn't bring it up, which leads me to believe that you know that Dave Damashek was correct about it, despite the fact that the Nuggets play-by-play guy, in fact, got
despite
back to us.
Despite the fact that the Nuggets play-by-play guy agreed. I think that's all.
He agreed with you, but that doesn't make it right.
Nikola Jokic. And what do you say?
Nikola.
By
the way, people have now been sending, as I'm sure you've seen, the clip of him ask, how do you say your name? And he says, Nikola.
He's saying it as his parents, maybe. Now, I'm going with the play-by-play guy here. That's it. That's the Americanized way of saying it. It's the most common way of saying it. And he's also given into it. So how do you take a victory lap here?
Because Joel, I'm correct. That's how.
Joel and Jim, what am I missing
here? The man
himself
said it. That's the end of the conversation.
The play-by-play guy.
The fact that you would argue or anyone would continue to argue with me, and listen, the Nuggets play-by-play man, appreciate the response, but the ongoing, like, yep, but look at basketballreference.com, and on there, it's phonetically spelled out, so it says Nikola. It's like, okay, but also, when Jokic himself is asked how you say the name, he says it Nikola. Like, which is more accurate? The guy? I think so.
The guy's tired. They got to him after a game. He's exhausted. I go with the play-by-play guy who's saying his name more than Jokic himself is saying it. I like Jim and Joel. Settle this once and for all. Who's right here?
I like Nikolai.
Like Volkov?
That's another one. Nikolai, that was, and I'm glad you said that, Jim, because that was the more proof for you. Eastern European guys. Nikolai Volkov. Is it Nikolai Volkov? That's exactly who you would relate to.
You were wrong. You should have asked the international announce team, and maybe they would have sided with you, but you're wrong here. You're wrong.
There you go.
No one pronounces your name Damashek. You know, it's
that's true.
Well, I like when people. Start. I like when people. This is almost as bad as when people argue with me about Mario Lemieux. Like, no, it's Mario. It's actually Mario. It's like Mario Lemieux says his name Mario. I think that's the source that we should trust on this one.
It's weird because it's a more Italian as Mario. You would go Mario for everything, but yeah, Mario Lemieux is yet to determine what nationality he is. So I think we give him three or four more years before he could. Commit.
All right, fine. I'm done with all of it. You know what? I can tell Sal's itching to be done with my nonsense. That's fine. You know what? End it here and now. That's
right.
Fine.
Our friend Harry is brother, an obese man probably Harry probably has 30-35 IQ points on his brother. And he would say, talk about NHL 93-94. He would say Jaromir Jagr's name, Jamar Jagr. And and didn't want to hear from anybody that he was wrong. Jamar Jagr. That's wrong, right? We could all agree that Jamar Jagr is wrong.
I'm going to go you that it is. I'm almost positive. We don't even have to ask Yaro if that's
Dave,
correct.
There's hockey talk on -3. There's football talk. You're with Jeff Schwartz. You guys are recording what, tomorrow? Big Super Bowl special.
Yes, indeed. We'll figure it all out and let you know what's going to go down on Super Sunday and beyond. And that's that. Make sure you download, subscribe, all that stuff. -3.
At Damashek, -3 is the podcast you want to listen to him on. And Charlotte Wilder doing it on Fox Digital, interviewing various players this week. Go check her out. I'm at The Cousin Sal. I'm sick of this book. I have to say, I don't want to sound like, I know Howard Stern gets mad at his book and he does it and he gets mad at the interviews. And I kind of want to be done with it. So just buy it. You can't lose them all, and send my father an email and tell him you bought it, and so that his mind isn't racing as to which family member grabbed the last copy. Special reminder out there to all of you who may feel like underdogs. Please remember, you're all our favorites. See you Friday.